Welcome to Generation Radio Podcast, where the focus is on Aripuna and their families. We are here each Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on the Oldies Channel, 101.1. You can listen to these shows at any time, any place, and even on your smartphone at generations808.com. We will bring to you resourceful information from our Generations team of experts in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore ways to make your life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors. Here's your host and publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
Okay, welcome to Generations Radio. I am Percy here, as you know, every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. And I know you guys listen to a lot of our commercials and 101. You know, G3, it's amazing how many people I talk to every week. They go, yeah, I listen to that channel. And so I always ask, why do you listen to that channel? Because I want to know why. And they say they're the best 60s and 70s music. 101.1 FM. See, Kella, if you don't know, listen in. But we get a lot of fanfare. I'm actually very surprised, very happy that a lot of you guys listen to our show. And I know it's a lot of great information. So please tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your people from church, tell your aunties and uncles, tell your kids, because all these shows are housed or archived as podcasts on our website, generations808.com. So you may not be interested in this week's topic, but there may be a topic you may be interested in. So go to our website, look under the radio side, and it'll show all the topics of all the past issues, stories, shows that we've done in the last, we've been doing this for probably total about 5-6 years. We're new to 101 since last year, but it's very, very good library of information and shows. We only have experts on the show, like today's expert on fiduciary responsibilities for families. But welcome to the show, Ms. Kella. How are you?
I'm fine, Percy. And I went and took a look at some of your podcasts, and I learned a lot about Medicare.
Oh, let me tell you.
That was a great session.
You're not Medicare age, that's why.
I am, darling.
Well, I've probably done 5 different companies, maybe 6 different companies that specialize in Medicare on our show. And every show, I learn something new.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's complicated.
It is, and it's not. And it's sometimes, everybody's situation is different when it comes to medication or services. And really, for people you on a neighbor island, it's bigger to difference than neighbor islands because they're limited services and doctors, first of all, for different plans.
Right.
You know? But yeah, it's we do a lot of Medicare information.
On that note, I want to talk about someone that I couldn't find a geriatrician on the Big Island, and when I did, they weren't taking people that just had Medicare. I want to also say that people, when you get Medicare, you really need that Medicare supplemental.
Yeah,
really,
that's very
do.
Very important. And you know, don't quote me and don't say Percy said this that. On a supplemental plan, you have to apply within a certain amount of months when you reach the age of 65, so you don't have to do any tests. So all the preconditions, you ought to be fly in. But I believe it's 3 to 6 months. After that, if you apply after that, then you have to get tested for any pre-existing conditions that you
have.
Well,
that's good to remember.
Yeah.
I took care of myself. I am Medicare age, and I do have a supplemental. However, it's good to know those things when I take on a client. As
very
a
important.
Fiduciary.
Mm-hmm. And for a lot, because you're a fiduciary and we'll cover what you do, but as since we're on the top of Medicare, the children a lot of times will do research for their family. Like, you know, they've been on Medicare 20 years. I had the same company for 20 years. That may be true, but today's marketplace with the change in medications, what they're going to cover, what they won't cover, whether you use generic or brand. And then, like I said, neighbor is always another ballgame. So it's really important for families to do their research. We have many companies in our magazine. If you need any specific referral, you can always give them a call or give me a call in a magazine because everybody's different. I mean, I talk to people weekly. Every week, I talk to 2 or 3 people that ask me questions about Medicare. I'm not Medicare age yet, but I tell my wife, we got to get ready. We got to start thinking about that. You know, in fact, we had somebody on talking about travel. When you travel outside the U.S., does your supplemental plan cover?
Well, actually, that was one of the things I researched because my one and only child married a boy that is from New Zealand, and they live in New Zealand. So one of the plans I selected allowed me to collect, to be able to submit a claim because inevitably I end up swimming in their waters and getting an earache or something happens. Yeah. And, you know, $300-$400 wasn't covered prior to being on a Medicare supplement.
So Ms. Keller just gave you a tip here. It is really important because some supplemental plans do not.
Yes, that's right. That's absolutely right.
Or in certain countries.
Right.
So very well. So anyway, can you mention your company name?
I've been a private fiduciary for probably over 20 years. And prior to that, I was, you know, with the one of the banks in their trust department. So I've been a professional fiduciary, corporate and individual, private fiduciary, for a very long time. Now, what is that exactly? And the word fiduciary really is just another word for trustee. So, I mentioned my daughter. My daughter, you know, has asked me just recently, Mom, what is it you do again? I go, I know. And usually at a party, I say as little as possible, because when I have to actually tell people what I do, that I'm a private trustee, they just sort of glaze over. Or they think maybe I'm a trustee for one of the large, you know, landed trusts here. You know, no, I'm, it's just, I settle estates and I do trust administration.
Yeah. And that's actually a very big market for families that maybe don't have any children.
Right, exactly.
Or one spouse passed away.
Exactly.
Or the children live in the mainland.
Yes.
Or they have actually passed away before their parents. So
exactly.
It's a huge thing. And I know a lot of banks, I've actually trained a bunch of trust officers from different banks around town and branch managers about this recently. And it's really important because where do you find that knowledge that you have?
Oh boy, that, you know what? That's a very good question, Percy. And I'm a certified trust and financial advisor, which is a license that's you can get through American Banking Association. And that's sort of like your calling card in a sense. You know, you have to have a certain amount of experience, you have to pass some tests, and you have to do continuing education.
That's the key.
And
continuing education.
You'll find the CTFAs at the banks, in the big trust companies, but you won't find that many private fiduciaries that have taken the time or see it as important to become a CTFA. To me, it's just a level of, you know,
competency.
Thank you.
Expertise.
Thank you.
And you're committed to this industry. I've known you a long time. And for a lot of people, I tell the same thing. I have a designation called Certified Senior Advisor. It covers 22, 23 different areas of aging. And I got it originally in, I think it was 2003, 2004.
Right.
And I've been doing this 19, going on 20 years. And I recently got the CLTC, Certification in Long-Term Care. So I do help families with long-term care planning from all the different aspects. Not just about the cost or the facility or the care, but all of that is really incorporated. And they're both are accredited, you know, and actually the certified senior advisor is the only one in our financial and senior industry that's double accredited by both agencies in the U.S. And I always tell people, when you see somebody with that, and it's actually in Hawaii, there's probably less than 10 of us here in Hawaii.
It's always good to have alphabet soup after your name. It shows that you've got, you know, a certain level of proficiency and commitment to your field.
To me, that's really what it is. Mm-hmm. For a lot of people that I work with, whether it's in the financial side or the trust side, is I want to see that commitment. And, you know, there's 40,000 designations in the U.S.
Oh, my.
And you know how many are accredited?
No 10%. Idea. Really?
Yeah. Only 10%.
Interesting.
Are accredited. Yeah. So when you see, you know, realtors, accountants, attorneys, all these long financial advisors, all these long designations, they took a class, got a certificate, and there's no CE.
Oh yeah, continuing ed.
That's
right. That's very important.
And nobody ever reviewed the test.
Right. Right.
You know, I've had classes where this is gonna be on the test, so write this down. No. These tests, there's nothing like that. So I'm glad you have that. And it really shows your commitment. Well, you've been in this industry a long time.
I have. And a lot of people go, well, what's your background? Are you a CPA or an attorney? No, I'm not. And I'm just sort of an old-fashioned trust officer who has had a lot of on-the-job training.
That's really what it is. You know, I'm not a geriatrician or a gerontologist, I have a lot of years of experience in aging. And besides my designation, CSA, CLTC, I can talk the lingo that all the doctors and a lot of these specialists in the long-term care field can. And what's good about fiduciary, you have a lot of breadth of experience, because sometimes you see an attorney or accountant or a financial advisor try to be a trustee.
Yeah.
They only specialize in certain areas. And as a fiduciary, you have to have a wide range of knowledge.
You do. And actually, you know, I spent some time in the 90s and early aughts, you know, actually as a financial planner and had my Series 7, and I don't have that anymore. But that's, you know, you're right. I mean, that's one of the things I bring to the table is I am able to look at an investment statement and make some suggestions to the financial advisor rather, you know, and especially as a fiduciary, you have to kind of hit certain portfolio mixes that are sort of acceptable. So how do you, you know, how do you learn this stuff? Well, you know, you go to things like the Hawaii Tax Institute, and you also continue with your education credits. So, you know, you're right. It's kind of interesting because people say, are you licensed? Well, we don't have licensing in Hawaii. And, you know, they do on the mainland for private fiduciaries.
Really?
They do. And, you know, I think here one of the things is we don't have as many people. I mean, you know, you've got millions of people in Arizona and California and Washington. But I think one of the things we have here, as you well know, Percy, is your reputation, just word of mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, if you didn't do a good job, you wouldn't be in business.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
That's very true. Interesting you say Arizona and California, because actually in San Diego, they have 1 million people over 60 years old. 1 million people.
That's our entire population, just about.
Yeah, we have 1.4, 1.5 here.
Oh, okay, it's growing.
But San Diego County is actually very broad. 6 million, 1 million over 60.
Wow.
Arizona, I went to Arizona because I had done a lot of research on aging. And Phoenix is the same, very similar to San Diego. They also have 1 million people over 60.
Hmm.
Isn't that incredible?
That is incredible. People. Well, so I wanted to also talk about a little bit about, you know, as a private fiduciary, you know, what other types of fiduciaries are out there?
Sure,
you know, and, okay, so when people are doing their estate planning with an attorney, you know, the big question for them always is, who am I going to name as my successor trustee? Okay, if you're married, you're going to name each other.
So let me back up. So when people have a trust, let's say you're my wife and we have a trust together. So there's different ways. We don't want to talk too much legalese here because we're not attorneys, but a lot of times they'll have a Keller Holt and Mr. Holt trust together, or they can have a separate trust, right?
Right.
What we call AB trust.
Right. So you're naming each other, but then it's, you know, what happens when one passes, who's going to get named as the successor?
Successor trustee.
So, you know, a lot of times people will name their children, but if you don't have children, or your children are disabled or unable, not to say disabled, unable for whatever reason.
Or they don't live here.
Or they don't live here.
We see quite a bit.
Or you know that your children are going to fight.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking for a neutral third party. That's what a private fiduciary brings to the table. So you're going to look to your family and friends first, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to tell you, there's so many times I come across someone and she goes, yeah, I named my friend and I haven't seen her for 10 years. Well, it's really time for you to update that trust.
Well, did they ever let their friend know?
Well, sometimes they don't even do that.
I know.
You know, so you've got friends and family, which is sort of the logical or first, you know, first line or first choice. And then you would look at perhaps a corporate fiduciary, and you've got the banks plus the private trust company also. So you've got four choices. And they have their pluses and minuses. All, you know, we just talked about family members. Like, you know, they're the natural selection of, you know, for a fiduciary, but it might be that the dynamics in your family would make them a very bad or inappropriate trustee.
But by the time you're brought on, you don't get involved with that decision-making process, do you?
No, I don't, because that's really between
the family.
But actually, I do talk to people. I've been interviewed many times. Like, I'm working on my estate plan, and you were suggested, or several private fiduciaries were suggested. I'm interviewing, and I'm very forthright that, you know, sometimes it's a good fit and sometimes it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone's a little bit younger than me, am I going to be around? You know, yes, my business will continue because, you know, I do have succession plans in mind. However, that's one of the risks you run by naming a friend or a private fiduciary.
Yep.
You don't have that continuity that you're going to have with a corporate fiduciary, which is going to usually one of the banks.
Yeah. But I noticed, and I've been doing mortgages for 31 years, since 1988, well, actually more than that now, I didn't think about it. And I've seen situations where when they use a fiduciary, they have to have a certain asset level too. Is that correct?
You mean the corporate ones? Yeah, they do have some minimums.
Million dollars?
Yeah, they do. And then one of the banks has slightly lower. You know, so you're right. That, you know, that is a, that can be an issue. And that's just because, you know, it's cost of doing business. I do have a minimum myself, but I've been known to, if it's an appropriate, you know, situation, I've been known to lower my minimum too, you know, because just...
Well, the amount of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not a nonprofit here, you know, but we have to be able to, you know, nobody ever buys a Mercedes or nobody ever buys a Toyota. There's a reason why they do that. But I noticed some of the trust companies and banks, they have an asset limit.
They do.
And I had a situation once where dad finally passed away and the bank was named as a trustee, but the bank said, well, no, we're not going to do a case because of the asset level went down.
That can happen.
And the family was very not
upset.
Happy about it.
Yeah.
You can't blame them.
Well, and that's it. You can name me. You can name anyone. And that trustee does not necessarily have to take that case.
But also with family members, too.
Yeah, exactly.
They can resign their position, even as a power of attorney, attorney in fact. I've seen that case. I had a longtime friend of mine. He became a successor trustee of a pretty sizable estate. And I was like, why are you the trustee? Because I know the family name. He goes, oh, because the father did not trust the children.
Right. Especially if they're going to fight.
Especially if they're going to fight.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate, but that's the reality of life. You know, I tell people, and I speak around town quite a bit. I say, you know, when mom and dad's gone, the horns come up. The gloves come off because, you know, Kelly, you are the favorite daughter. You did this. You got all that.
Oh, and boy, the
you know,
stories.
Percy, you're the only single one here, so you get the house because you don't have a house. I say, hey, it's not my fault. Percy doesn't have a house, and I have a house. So that's, you know, and I can see the situation, and I get it. It's just unfortunate that, you know, we have to bring in a mediator, whether it's a nonprofit need mediator or a for-profit mediator. It's going to take time, and unfortunate. So those kind of situations, actually why they need to have a fiduciary like you, right?
Right. So I think it's a really tough choice for people to make, and it's going to depend on your family situation, your assets, things of this sort. So I think when you're working with your estate planning attorney, you want to put in a lot of language that if this, you know, if plan A, if not, then plan B, you know, perhaps a family member, perhaps a private fiduciary, perhaps the majority of the beneficiaries, you know, will decide. So you really want to have, and I'm not doing estate planning, I'm not an attorney, I'm just making a suggestion that when you're considering this, try to put in as much language that allows you, or not you, but or your beneficiaries or whomever, and the successor trustees, that you've got a lot of options, you know, sort of baked into the language.
That's the key word, options.
Yes.
And the same thing with long-term care. When we try to have a family plan for long-term care, you need to have all the options. You need to have all the bells and whistles. You need to cover these things because if you plan for the best case scenario, but the worst case scenario comes about, that plan goes out the door. So we always, and I hate to be the negative person in the meeting, but I'm always a negative person. I say,
You're realistic.
Well, it can happen. I've seen it happen.
Right.
I've counseled thousands of families. I've closed several hundred reverse mortgages. I've closed several hundred regular mortgages in 31 years. But it just, people always plan for the best case scenario, and the worst case happens. So I always tell them, we got to plan for the worst case scenario, and if nothing happens, great. We have to still get the plan, but we got to plan all the what ifs in life that's going to happen. You know. So if we're yourself in like a private fiduciary, or even for a bank or trust company. Is it always based on the assets amount, or could it depend on the cost of care?
You know, I've gotten involved in cases because of where it's coming. You know, who's who's referring the business to me? And I've actually gotten involved in a case that was really, you know, as you say, Manini, really small. You know, he had a boat, and the boat was sort of a derelict boat. But the state agency, you know, Office of the Public Guardian, needed that boat handled so they could put the gentleman on Medicaid.
Got it.
So he had a little bit tiny, less than $20,000 in the bank. We charged our fees. It didn't really matter because the objective was to get rid of that boat. And we just let the state, it was delinquent. So they reclaimed it. I'm not sure I'm using the, it's cheated. Okay. So anyway, that's probably my smallest case ever, you know, ever. But, you know, yes, I have a fee schedule and our, you know, we were able to do our job because you're right. I'm for profit, not nonprofit, which by the way, the nonprofits that are out there also get paid. So that's
yeah, people don't
a
realize
misnomer.
That.
Yeah,
but they also need to make sure the nonprofit successor trustees or fiduciaries are knowledgeable enough. And I don't know how many are have the background training, like from a financial side, because to me, that's one of the most important areas of expertise they need to have is the financial side.
Well, yeah, no, you're right, because you're dealing with assets. And I do think that, you know, not to toot my own horn, but I do think the background I bring to the table, having had that prior, and also I'm actually a licensed realtor, even though I don't sell real estate, because that
Good.
Would be a conflict.
It is.
But I wanted the license just to have the knowledge. So that when
well your current knowledge too if you get to get that, I was a realtor how long ago 20 years ago
it's not about selling it's about right. knowing the you know as a trustee what's one of the biggest assets in Hawaii land yeah. real estate so you really have to know all those forms what's a purchase contract how do you your offers your seller's real property disclosure statement there's just a lot of things you've got to know when you're selling real estate. And very often, that's the biggest asset. Or in the conservatorships, guardianships, that's the only asset left.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I get a lot of stuff sent to me as a publisher, but I also have a lot of data from my mortgage side is that, I can't remember what stat, don't quote me, I think once you reach the age of 85, 75% of the people are going to have basically their home left over.
Yeah.
So all they're going to have left over. Yeah. Obviously done very well. That's really rare because most of my clients today all have $1 million home and they come to me because they finally run out of their financial assets. I say, yeah, like 50-60% of the time, once you reach age of 85, you're going to run out of your assets, your financial assets. So all you have is real estate.
You know, Percy, I've worked, over the years and, there was a lot of, people didn't, I get into situations where the reverse mortgage was done years ago. And it's worth more than what the property is worth. And that's why I love, and this is an unabashed plug for Percy and his mortgages, because they make the most sense. You use it as you need it. And because, we're working on a case right now. A 101-year-old woman wants to stay in her home. And we are working very hard to make sure that can happen.
Yeah. That the planning side of it, that's why we always are planning ahead, because I work with a lot of financial advisors, banks and trust companies and insurance agents and realtors. And so, having you as one of the feathers in my pocket is really, really important. But I think one reason why I want to bring you on is that people don't realize having a fiduciary can be make or break the family.
What? I think that's really true. And I think, it's really interesting because it's hard. I mean, I've had to tell people, a trustee has like almost absolute power. Pretty much they can do, of course, there's standards. You cannot self-deal. You have to have a loyalty to your client. I mean, there are, fiduciary standards you need to adhere to. However, that fiduciary has a lot of say about the disposition of assets.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that a private fiduciary, whether it's myself or some of the other companies out there, hopefully what we bring is a little bit more customized plan. Like, for example, this woman, her son died last year. They've been living in this home together. She's 101. The guys that are holding her power of attorney brought her back to Honolulu for a while to live with family. She bolted. She won't even get on a plane to come back to Honolulu because they think she's going to get imprisoned again.
Yeah.
She wants to stay in her home. And I'm, so as I'm working in this situation, of course, my first reaction was, we've got to pay for her care because, of course, at 101, it's pretty much 24/7. So how are we going to monetize the house, which is really, really the only asset left? Because her son did not leave her, again, very often in Hawaii, as we just mentioned, you're land rich, cash poor.
Yeah.
So how do you, maybe another trustee would have said, okay, well, we're just going to sell that home.
And I've seen those situations.
And that's not the right thing. That's just not the right thing to do.
Yeah.
So you have to look. This is what I say. You know, everyone thinks, oh, you know, private fiduciaries. Yeah, you know, you're managing a lot of assets. And it's, you know, quite truthfully, it's a good living. However, you cannot get into this if you're looking at that point of view, because attached to all those assets is a human being,
yeah,
with their own unique story and situation. And you have to pay attention to that.
I don't know if I told you this, but on Netflix, there's a movie about a fiduciary.
Yeah, I know. I know. Everyone's been talking about it. I don't want to watch it. I don't want to watch it because it's like.
You should.
I saw some clips, and yeah. I just thought, that would be too nerve-wracking for me.
We're here with Keller Holt from
Hawaii Fiduciary Services.
We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
In 2021, take the confusion out of Medicare. The Copeland Insurance Group will help you understand the exciting new plans with increased benefits for seniors 65 and above, veterans, the disabled, and those that qualify for extra help. Contact Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group at 808-591-4877. 808-591-4877. Mahalo.
5914777. Shoot 'em for Shoot Who's got the best deals of Vegas around? Shoot 'em for Shoot 'em. Call 5914777 today. Vacations Hawaii. Vacations Hawaii. Vacations Hawaii. Good luck, we go play. 5914777 today. Good luck, we go play.
Complete 4 and 5 night packages from $699. Vacations Hawaii, our favorite connection to Vegas.
Okay, welcome back to Generations Radio. Thank you for tuning in and staying with us, by the way. I know it's an hour show and people say, gosh, you're an hour show. That's kind of long, don't you think? I say, hey, listen, we have a lot of great information on the show. By the way, if you don't know by now, look in a magazine. We do webinars every month, by the way. Keller, we got to have you on a webinar. They're usually the third Wednesdays of the month. And probably by July, maybe August, we're going to probably do two a month. You can look on our Facebook page, find them there, go to our magazine, or go to our website. It's on there. Really great information. I would highly recommend everybody tune in. And that's really actually how I learned all of what I know in these 19 years. I actually did Olelo. 2004, I believe it was, we started Today's Kupuna Show, Kupuna Connection Show on Olelo, and I used to bring in people from different areas of expertise, and that's how I learned over the years and got really knowledgeable within about 3 years of the different aspects of aging. It's really important, guys, to understand there's so many different aspects of aging and different things. So if you have needing a resource or need a contact, a referral, email me through the magazine, percy@generations808.com. Phone number is in the magazine. It's 808-600-4383, I believe it is. It's in the magazine. But it's really important to gather information. I was talking to a friend of mine before I came. He goes, yeah, my dad's going to be 93 next month, and we're worried about him, but we're taking care of him. And I said, well, you know, I said, let me know if you need any help. Because, yeah, well, I'll let you know when it becomes a problem. I said, no. You don't want to be reactive when a problem exists. You need to be proactive so the problem doesn't happen. So I told him, hey, you know, Randy, you know, really got to think about this is that you might want to hire somebody or call me up. I can refer you out. But talk to somebody that things are going to happen to your dad or mom eventually. They're going to fall down. You might want to have a fall inspection person come into the house, or have a physical therapist teach your dad and or mom that there's certain fall areas for you at risk. I actually did it with my parents. My mother's fallen down two places basically in the house. So we brought in a physical therapist to train them and my father how to navigate that area so she doesn't fall down. So those little things are really, really important to be proactive versus reactive in terms of dealing with family situations. You know, needing more care. I said, he's going to need more care down the road. Your mother's going to need more care down the road. What's going to happen? I told my dad 2 weeks ago, I said, at some point, you're going to need to have mom or dad in a memory unit or hire somebody, like you said, 24/7.
Which is expensive.
Yeah.
Unless you have a long-term health care policy.
Well, I have a long-term care policy, but yeah. I don't really use the word expensive. Hmm. And the reason why is that's just the cost of doing business in Hawaii.
Right.
I mean, we're very expensive in Hawaii. You know, right. The tax situation, the limited resources we have for CNAs or even nurses, even nursing beds. You know, right now, I can't remember what somebody quoted me, 90% of all the nursing beds are full right now for Medicaid, not necessarily private sector, but Medicaid. So in 5 to 10 years, when we may need it, are there going to be beds around? Because it's not bringing a whole lot of beds on the market because it's, you know, it's very difficult for Hawaii real estate and get bonding and insuring, let alone the process to get a license in Hawaii. So where is people going to go? So plan ahead, guys. And, you know, I know a few people that can do private counseling. I actually help a lot of families every week on some of the things they got to start looking for because it's really important as we age. There's so many different things. You know, I always, when I speak around time, so can you imagine at some point, Kayla, what are you going to do when you can't drive?
I don't even want to think about that. I guess there's Uber nowadays.
Yes, which is I love Uber. I just used it yesterday morning for my wife because I couldn't pick her up from the car place. So I just ordered Uber in advance. I was going to be busy in a meeting. I couldn't do it then. So I said, I ordered it 2 hours in advance. And you can do that with Uber and Lyft.
Well, these are really good questions about planning ahead, you know, and certainly trying to select the appropriate fiduciary or trustee is also part of that planning ahead.
Yeah, are you brought in ahead of time or when crisis is already happening, by the way?
Oh, gosh. A lot of times there's a crisis, okay? Kids are fighting or there isn't anybody or whoever they named isn't here or has predeceased them. So I'm brought in a couple of different ways. It depends on my role. If I'm coming in as a conservator, the person's alive, but they're unable to make, we keep referring to our 101-year-old. So, you know, we're in the middle of, you know, determining her capacity. And so if they are incapacitated based on a doctor's letter, there's a petition for a guardianship, which is guardian of the person, and a conservatorship, which is basically the fancy word for guardian of the property.
So
both, yes.
Yeah, sometimes it's both or...
And as a guardian, I've learned to do exactly what you're talking about, is do risk assessments, and I'm a real big believer if there's going to be a... Of course, you know, you can use the Office of Public Guardian. You know, they know what they're doing. However, you're using a private family member as the guardian. You really want or I'm the guardian, which I do occasionally. I'm also in those situations, also the trustee and their significant assets, quite truthfully. And it made sense for me to do it because there just isn't family around.
Right.
I hire a case manager, an RN, someone who knows what they're doing and can help in that situation. So if you
don't... More a healthcare, long-term care
yes,
side.
Yes, yes. So if you don't have that background, take classes. I mean, I've been to some great classes on dementia, you know, just how to talk to people. You know, so I think what we're talking about, though, is it's important, you know, as you have an elderly parent or relative, is to do some education, learn how to take care of that person, learn what connects... I learned something on dementia. You've got to look them in the eye. You can't come to the side because they don't have...
The vision goes down slowly.
Yeah, they don't have peripheral vision.
Yeah.
So when I'm working with, you know, clients that are in conservatorships or I'm their trustee and they're elderly, these things have helped.
Yeah, so true. Because people, I've been in meetings where they keep on yelling at the parent. They said,
I know.
Yelling's not going to solve the problem.
Right.
But then again, I've been in meetings... I met this guy, the son was bringing his parents in for the reverse mortgage side, and I met him at Starbucks, and after about 5 minutes talking to them, the son goes up, leans over to me. By the way, I didn't tell you this earlier, but my parents have dementia. They both have dementia. They can fake it very good. You're darn right.
They present well. They call it presenting well.
Yeah. They can talk about the weather, the sports, but they can't go any deeper. So I'm glad he did that. And by the way, we did talk about reverse mortgage a little bit. I do have to mention I am with reverse mortgage funding.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Hawaii office here on Kapilani, and my mortgage license number is 482-944. So just for disclosure purposes, we always need to do that. But yeah, it's you know, dementia is a whole other topic. We've done many shows on dementia as well, and people need to understand that, how it affects not only your role, but the family's role. And, you know, I have a relative now, been over 20 years, she's had dementia.
You know? Yeah, and as a trustee, you know, you know, you've mentioned, you've touched on certain things. So, you know, you have to know how to sell real estate, you have to be able to read financial statements, and then you have to know a little bit about
using home equity.
Well, there at that as well, but you know, on the, not on the subject of assets, but just in terms of dealing with your client who has dementia, just how to communicate with you know with them.
Yep.
And it's something, and I'm still learning.
I was golfing with two physical therapists yesterday, and they were talking about how dementia, of course, is a big name. Alzheimer's is a very big name too, but Alzheimer's is a majority of the cases of dementia is Alzheimer's. But yeah, there's so many different variations.
It's a spectrum. Yeah, it's a spectrum.
And vascular from Lewy body, all these different things that affects people differently.
Right.
So when you're talking to a neighbor or friend or a relative that has it, just remember every case is specific to you.
You know, I have a case on the Big Island, and he has Parkinson. So, you know, and one of the things I love about what I do is I learn something new almost daily.
Me too.
So, Parkinson. Okay. You know, I knew a family friend, you know, her husband had it, but that was just, you know, years ago, very far removed. It's different when your income beneficiary for the trust, that your trustee, has it. Okay?
Yeah.
And you have to really figure out what's his life expectancy. You know, he's had it since 2009, so that's 12 years. And so is he going to go for another 10? Maybe, probably not. So then you have to look at, you know, we started off about, it's right under a $3 million trust, but he wanted to pay off his mortgage. And his previous trustee and his financial planner and I, $300,000, we kind of gulped at that because that asset is not in the trust. He owns it jointly with his wife. But you know what? I met the wife and my client. They came to town last week, and that was the right thing to do. So, you know, you would say $300,000 for an asset that's not even in the trust. By doing that, it has just made the relationship between the husband and wife just that much easier, because they really have been just sort of scraping, getting by. And then, of course, he's inherited this money from his mother who's passed, and is the previous trustee from California. You know, we were all intent about preserving this money, and we still are. Don't get me wrong. But now that I've met him, and he wants to put up a tool shed and buy a mower, you know, it's about a almost an acre. So now that I've learned about the rental units on there, and the grass he wants to cut, the tool shed he wants to build, I okayed about another 150, and his teeth, I okayed about another $150,000 to come out over time. And, you know, again, I'm going back to that each situation is different, and you really have to listen to what's going on, because I realize that he's not going to be, you know, he's in his, what is he, in his 70s. Normally, you know, his life expectancy is 12.2. I actually look at these things because you have to do a cash flow. I don't think he's going to make it 12 years. And, you know, and if he was in really good health, he'd beat those odds. So you don't want him to run out of money. So, you want to put the brakes on, you know. But I've realized that he's getting so little joy from a lot of things right now, that working on his property and having these things happen is something he's been thinking about for years. And, you know, and allowing him to buy a $10,000 mower and put up a $16,000 T111 tool shed makes absolute sense. And he's not going, but on the other hand, I'm not being just spending his money extravagantly. He's not going to run out of money, you know, because you've got it, you know, wisely invested. However, I guess what I'm trying to say here is that you really have to know who you're dealing with. And sometimes you've got to get up close to their health and personal, you know, like what is Parkinson's?
You just can't look at this dollar
no,
amount he has.
You know, if you're going to get
a lot of people do that though.
You know, if you're going to get into this line of work and it's all about the money, I think. Well, I have my own opinions, obviously.
Yeah.
Which is there are people there are people attached to these assets.
Yeah, I've seen that. Well, you got to worry about the wife too, right?
Yes. And Yes, you know, that was, we weren't going to go into that situation.
That's a whole other
conversation.
So if the family's fighting and there is a trust, mm-hmm. and they want to have a fiduciary like yourself, do they have to get a petition to court for that? They get hire an attorney to do that?
Good point. Sometimes I'm coming in because they are fighting, and the judge or the mediator or the master has said you need an objective, neutral third party, it's called. Neutral third party. So sometimes there's, most attorneys will give three names. You know, there's maybe about a half a dozen companies out there.
I know, not a whole lot.
Not a lot, actually, interestingly enough. So you get interviewed, and if they select you, you're written into the document. With a conservatorship, that's a whole court process. You know, the person has declared incapacitated, there's a petition to name you as the conservator, and all of that is actually sort of court supervised. You know, you've got to go in for accounting annually. The other question is, as a trustee, who's monitoring you?
Yeah, well, who is then?
Well, it's kind of self-policing because your remainder beneficiaries are entitled, even if they're not the income beneficiary, they are entitled to your accounting. Oh. And there's case law about that. So, again, you want to work collaboratively. I think I haven't used that word yet, but that's a very important word in terms of what, how I approach a case. So I do try to, provide information to the remainder beneficiaries so they know what's going on. That's a double-edged sword because sometimes they want to micromanage you because it's like, wait a minute, that care, you're blowing up my inheritance. And again, I always feel that this is the income beneficiary's funds. Yes, you have to pay attention to those remainder men, but if the care of that income beneficiary uses up a lot or all the funds, that's what it is.
Yeah. Even on a reverse mortgage, we've had a situation where an attorney will put in the reverse mortgage. It's basically a home equity line of credit. That's really what people don't understand. But they are slowly, in the last few years, people are realizing it is a home equity line. And they'll put in language where when they pull the money out of the line of credit, the money got to be used for the quality of care for that beneficiary.
Health, education, and maintenance and support. Those are your standards on most trusts.
Yeah, it's so important. So let's say they are planning ahead. They're not fighting, but they do realize it's probably beneficial to bring you in as a fiduciary. Can they just write it into the instead of going to court?
Well, yeah, in your trust document, when you're working with the attorney, you just say Calla Holt, principal of Hawaii Fiduciary Services, or whatever private trustee or corporate trustee. You write it into the language in your trust when you're working with your estate planning attorney.
When you're doing the proactiveness of an estate planning.
Yes.
That's really important.
I want to stress that people should really go back and see their estate planners every 3-4 years. And if there's any changes, like, a child predeceased, your best friend, moved to the mainland and you haven't seen them, go back in and rewrite, amend those documents.
Yeah. I can't stress that enough because, I only work with seniors every day and their families, and I always bring that up. And a lot of times, they can't even find the trust.
Right.
They can't even find a power of attorney.
Right.
And now they want to do a new one, but now mom's got dementia. We've already documented that. Nothing she signs today
is valid. That's it.
If your loved one has dementia and it's been documented, in other words, doctor has deemed her unable to make financial decisions, basically whatever she signs today is invalid.
Whatever she signed previously to that stands.
Yeah, after it'd been documented. And it's not valid.
And that's one of the things. As you know, financial elder abuse is a whole nother topic. And that's what happens in that situation.
Yeah.
Somebody, gets mom or dad or family member to do something when there's already a capacity letter from a doctor.
Yeah.
And so that's...
So if you can't find a trust or a power of attorney for your loved one...
A no-no.
And they have been documented by a doctor saying that she is unable to make, has dementia, she can't sign anything going forward. So if the old documents are still good, it's fine. But if you can't find those, but I've had a situation, they have to go back in and petition the court. Is that correct?
Well, I'm not trying to understand the question totally.
So let's say they can't find a trust and power of attorney.
Uh-huh.
Mom has dementia now, and now they need to get a power of attorney.
But
they do want to set up a trust.
Oh, okay. So that's a very good question. You can't really do it that way. But what you can do, and I've done this, as a conservator, you have to get a conservator appointed. As a conservator, you can create a trust for someone.
Right, but yeah, don't you have to go through a court process?
Yes.
That's what I was getting at.
Yes, the answer to the, I'm sorry, I misunderstood the question. Yes, it's a court process.
Yeah, people don't realize that. They just
right.
can't go to Attorney George here and say,
right.
George, and I had a situation like that 2 years ago.
Oh, I see.
I said, George, you know, you have your client, my client signed his document that power attorney, but she's been documented for 3 or 4 years to have dementia. And he goes, oh, I didn't know that, but I talked to her and she's fine. I said, are you a doctor?
Yeah.
He goes, no, I'm not, but I talked to her. I said, that's not valid.
Right.
And
as we talked about, people present well. And,
oh, yeah.
And you know, especially if they're very sociable and engaging, you're like, okay, until you start talking to them.
Digging deeper.
Yes.
Have a more longer conversation.
Yes, yes. And you know what? There are plenty of people out there, neurologists, as we've talked about. There are PCPs. There are psychiatrists out there that, you know, it's sort of their specialty doing these cognitive assessments. And, you know, you see, that's another thing. I there was a company that got started several years ago, and one of the things they would do is get people to sign power of attorneys. And I thought, how do you know if they have capacity? Not a good idea to do that. You know, and also, what about their existing documents? They might already have a POA, power of attorney, that names somebody. You can't come along and upend their... just because this person doesn't remember that they've done this, okay?
It happens. And so I actually a title company who, you know, when we do mortgages, we have to record the power of attorney.
Right.
So it's documented. And I said, well, which one do you take? The one from 2010 or the one from 2020? We take the most current one. Yeah, but the most current one, she's already been documented to have dementia at 2019. Well, then we use the one from 2010 then.
I don't know, and I can't answer that because, you know, that's sort
that's,
of...
That's what happened.
The, you know,
we had to use the older one.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if they don't have capacity, and I'm involved, there's usually going to be a conservatorship.
Yeah. But in that legal process, so you have to work with an attorney to create the documents, petition to, to the judge.
Well, and that's the other thing. A lot of times people say, well, you can avoid a conservatorship if you've done enough estate planning and you've got that set up very well in your power of attorney. And that's another thing. You really should be looking at those power of attorneys kind of frequently as well.
Yeah.
And updating them.
They need to review it because we've seen so many situations.
Right.
We had a family that said, oh, yeah, we got it. Then we're ready to start the process and, oh, we can't find it.
And I think there's laws now that if it's only so many years, it really isn't going to hold. So I don't know if you're finding that in your industry.
As long as nobody argues, nobody complains.
Okay.
They've been accepting it. But the title companies, when you record a mortgage or put any property in trust, so let's say you have a trust from 2010, but now you did an amendment and restated a document in 2020.
Right.
And so I show them the restated 2020 document. They'll say, oh, no, we need to get the document that restated of, so we have to get the 2010 document.
Right.
I said, why do you need that for? They can change the document. Well, we want to make sure it's valid because you can change it and name a beneficiary. Then you took somebody else out as a beneficiary.
This is true, unless it's a restatement. And if it's a restatement, you restated the entire trust. If you're amending it, you're only amending a section, so you've got to go back. You know, Percy, you're raising a really good point. You want to encourage people to keep really good records.
Have that
little file that says trust documents or put it in your safe deposit box.
Well, here's another good tip. When people record the trust, they do not record the whole trust.
Right.
They record only the short form.
Right, right.
So anybody can read the short form because it's public record. That's the reason why they record only the short form. It doesn't show all the guts of the trust saying who gets what and this and that. So family can't fight or...
I want to say one other thing, too, and this is what I find, too, especially in land court. As you know, we have two systems of holding property, regular system and land court. Land court is tricky. You've got to show that title all the way from start to beginning. Yeah. I mean, start to end. And one of the things people end up doing is a spouse has passed away, but they haven't gone back in and amended their deed to show that. And I think it's really important, again, that people go back to their estate planning attorneys, and when there's a death occurs, and make sure that the estate plan still fits.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we're almost running out of time. Okay. Kelly, that was quick. So, Kelly, what's the best way for people to reach you, huh?
Okay, they can go to my website, which is Hawaii Fiduciary. I'm going to spell that out because most people do not know how to spell that word. Fiduciary, services with an S, .com.
And can they give you a call? Or?
Oh, sure. Sure. But I am not an attorney. I do not do estate planning. I do not amend documents. But I'm happy to be interviewed about being named as a trustee. And my phone number is 777-4200.
Yeah, so write that down, guys. If not, go back to the podcast and you can replay my our podcast. But it's really important to have knowledgeable people. Kella, thank you very much. Can I get one tip before we finish up what families should think about when they're looking at a fiduciary?
I think that's a, I don't know, what one tip? I think you
I
want...
I don't know, several, but just one kind of generic.
I think someone that... I think if you're the one doing the document, it really has to be someone you're going to be comfortable with, or you think your family will be comfortable with, or your spouse will be comfortable with.
Yeah.
I think it really boils down to just having comfort, trust...
A relationship.
A relationship, okay?
Yeah, it is really... It's so true, because I've just seen so many situations where they did not like the fiduciary or did not like the trust.
That can happen.
And did not like the attorney. So thank you so much. It was great.
And yes. I want to say one thing. Yeah. I've met you. I've known you for a while. I've met your other two brothers. And I just think that the Ihara family is fantastic. And I know that there's three sisters out there. And I haven't met them, but I'm sure they're as... What you guys do is so community spirited and based, you know, and you give back. And I'm sure your sisters do the same.
They do.
But your parents did a good job.
Yeah. Well, my parents have been role models. I mean, they were donating time. And I'll tell you a true story. So I started giving blood, I don't know, when I was like 35 years old or something like that. So I'm going to blood bank. You know, I'm sitting and waiting around. And there's a picture of all the people on the wall, you know, on levels of how many pints to give. And I look at the top there and go, wow, look at all these guys. I saw my dad.
Oh, how neat.
Like, what? And he never told me that.
How neat.
He was like the top of the list. So I asked my dad, well, I've been giving for 50 years.
That's a great story.
Amazing story. So.
Well, Percy, thank you for having me. Yeah. And I'm happy to support what you do in any way possible.
And you'll become a partner soon. So thank you very much, everybody. Don't forget, if you want to listen to it live, go to hawaiistreams.fm, because I don't have a radio in my house. So once in a while, I'll put it on at hawaiistreams.fm, listen to it, because I love 101.1. So, TT, thank you very much, guys. As always, generations808.com. You can listen to all our past radio shows. And don't forget our webinars, the third Wednesday of the month. Check out our Facebook page, and you can sign on for one of those. Kella, thank you very much, everybody. And always, aloha and live well.
Aloha.
In 2021, take the confusion out of Medicare. The Copeland Insurance Group will help you understand the exciting new plans with increased benefits for seniors 65 and above, veterans, the disabled, and those that qualify for extra help. Contact Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group at 808-591-4877. 808-591-4877. Mahalo.
5914777. Who's got the best deals in Vegas around? Call 5914777 today. Vacations Hawaii. Vacations Hawaii. Vacations Hawaii. Good luck, we go play. 5914777 today. Good luck, we go play.
Complete 4 and 5 night packages from $699. Vacations Hawaii, our favorite connection to Vegas.